Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the trash of the day in about 20 minutes or so. Also, a reminder coming up a little bit later on in the program, Nate Taylor will join us. He is still in New York, so he'll join us on the phone today, our Chiefs insider from ESPN. But we're really excited to have former NFL wide receiver, a four-time All-Pro, Steve Smith, joining us on the show. He's the host of the 89 show. You can catch it over on YouTube. We've had Steve on the show a few times. I think we sat next to each other in the press box a year or so ago when the Chiefs were taking, I don't know if it was the Ravens or if it was the Bengals. Hey. I can't remember which one, but Steve, good to have you on the show, man.
How you doing?
We're good. We're good. We're trying to figure out how worried we should be about this offense. You played in the league looking at these wide receivers. How bad is it?
I don't think it's bad. I think it's problematic for you guys, the Kansas City Chiefs, because of the standard and what the expectation coming into the season. You have Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes, right, he's like duct tape, you know, or electrical tape for old man. He can do anything with it. Unfortunately, you need a little bit better materials right now. And with Rashee Rice, who was really dominant in the offseason, he was ahead of schedule, running full speed in OTAs, really started to establish himself as the number one wide receiver out of the room or in the room. And now that he's not available a few more games, it's starting to show that some of the role players, the twos and threes that are on other teams, are actually playing like twos and threes.
I guess when you look at that and like where they are, does that mean you still have a lot of optimism that once Worthy and Rashee Rice is back, this will look like a top 10 offense again?
I don't know. I don't think that's fair to say, because you can be a top 10 offense and not go anywhere. When you talk about the Kansas City Chiefs under Andy Reid right now with Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, you're associating success in the hunt. Contention, playoffs. You can't keep throwing a Band-Aid on Patrick Mahomes and make it right. I think that's the part that's getting maybe you guys in trouble a little bit. And obviously, you know, starting off where you guys are statistically, you know, you're digging yourself in a hole that's going to be hard to climb out of at whatever point once the offense starts clicking.
What do you think Travis Kelce is at this point in his career? How can he be used in this offense? What should his role be, in your opinion?
I mean, his role is exactly what it is. You know, he's a tight end, and in his prime, he was utilized like a tight end. So nothing has changed. I really think the unrealistic expectations is one of the biggest issues that is going on with the Kansas City Chiefs, because like I said earlier, the expectation is dominance. You know, the first couple of weeks should put everybody on notice that the Kansas City Chiefs are a team to look out for. You can't do that right now. And that's very different than what you guys do.
When you look at like your career and teams you'd come off of that were having massive amounts of success the year before, when it does start slow, is it hard to like get everybody on the same page? We feel like we're seeing more infighting, small things, right? Dust ups with Andy and Travis. And I'm trying to figure out, Are we just noticing it because they're not playing well, Steve? Or do you think it's happening? Okay, that's the question.
You're noticing it because you aren't playing well. Man, Andy, Big Red, that's Big Red. He don't sugarcoat nothing. Hey, him and Travis have that relationship, but if you talk to some of the other players, back in the day when he was in Philly, Andy get up in your face a little bit. So I don't think it's something to worry about. It's just the outcome is making you guys worry, and I understand.
How surprised are you that the Chiefs and Ravens are both have a chance to go 1-3 on Sunday? Before this season, I'd have thought that nearly impossible.
Yeah, I was just at the game. I just landed back in Toronto. I was just at the game, and depending on who you ask, right? And I think the Eagles and the Chiefs game was the same way. It was a good game. But if your team didn't win, your perspective is different, right? But think about let's just say hypothetically you don't have a dog in the fight. You go to a game like the Ravens and Bills, and, man, you got 81 points that was put up. That's freaking exciting.
When you look at what do you think, I guess, looking forward, you just watched him play. What do you think the problem on Ravens defense is? And is that something the Chiefs can take advantage of? Where are their problems?
Secondary and the lack of consistent pass rush to get the quarterback off the spot.
We're talking to Steve Smith, former NFL wide receiver. He's got the 89 show over on YouTube. He's kind enough to give us some time this morning here on 96.5 The Fan. Specifically with Tyquan Thornton, he's become a huge bright spot in the story. They talked him up during camp, and he's obviously been crucial for them. What is it that you're seeing with him? Because the first 3 weeks, even though they haven't won three games, that's the one thing they've been able to have success with. They've gotten him open down the field, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, he brings a lot to the table. Speed, height, he's going up a high point in the ball. So you can see quite early what he is capable of doing. And you also understand that, you know, with a guy like Andy, he's going to see that opportunity and he's going to make hay with it. And I would expect things to continue. Now, I don't expect him all of a sudden to be Jerry Rice by week 10. So let's not, you know, get ahead of ourselves. But I do think if he continues on this trajectory, he can run alongside Xavier Worthy, run alongside when Rashee Rice comes back. And now you have that third, those top three wide receivers. Your quarterback feels comfortable with putting the ball in their area. And that's been the biggest concern with Patrick Mahomes over the years is, hey, He doesn't have receivers that he's comfortable with. I think Rashee Rice, prior to him getting injured, he was getting there. With the absence of Rashee Rice, that pushed Xavier Worthy into a spotlight that he needed. And then now with Thornton, I would expect Royals to come along a little bit. You know, they liked him. He looked pretty good in camp, but he's still young, still learning the position. So developmental with Andy Reid has never been an issue, and I don't see it being an issue now.
Do you think that Rashee Rice is a top 20 wide receiver in the NFL when healthy?
I don't know. I don't know if that's a fair question for me to answer. You know, because here's why, and I'm not going to answer it, not because I'm afraid, but here's the thing. If I say yes, or if I say no. If I say no,
he's mad at you. You say yes, everyone else is.
Well, no. Well, here's the part that's – I say no because he got injured and it's unfair.
Yeah.
It is extremely unfair to sit here and say if he wouldn't – just like it's unfair to say if he wouldn't have got injured. Right? I've had people on my show, on the 89 show, go in their comments and say, well, he was on pace four, and I've interacted. So do we credit what we're on pace for, or do we only credit what we actually did? Because, you know, when the Powerball was $3.7 billion, I was on pace to win that. I just never got to the Powerball place to pick it. So does that mean I'm still a billionaire?
Do you think he has the talent to be that level of wide receiver? Like, let's just forget where he actually ranks.
Of course. I think he, because Andy Reid's offense does a great job of getting the guys who they believe are the guys, the football, right? We can go back in the day. We talk about Andy Reid, when you talk about this offense, right? Alex Smith in Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes was just getting developed. Then you got Tyreek Hill, punt returner, right, who played running back, wide receiver, how he developed, right? The wide receivers coach that used to be there, Greg Jennings. You have a Todd Pinkston, right? You have all of these players over the years under Andy Reid where they were not top anything. However, they were the top playmakers of that team when they were in that offense, and that's what you need.
Before we let you go, Steve, we're talking to Steve Smith here on 96.5 The Fan. What about the Chargers? What do you make of them? They're 3-0 and already have three divisional wins. They're trying to knock the Chiefs off, obviously, after nine straight division titles.
Well, I just finished watching the Chargers, literally. I was on the airplane watching them because I was watching Keenan Allen, just seeing how that old man is still doing it, how he's going about business, and it's awesome. Right, he's playing primarily outside, playing X, right? And Quentin Johnston is doing a really good job. They figure out how to get him the ball and show his explosiveness. Ladd McConkey, he's trying to figure out now that it's no longer a secret. The gig is up. He's a hell of a football player. People are starting to game plan for him. And then that defense is crazy physical. And they got a young secondary who doesn't know anything about what they're supposed to be doing. They're not supposed to be playing this good this early. They don't know that, and that's why it makes them so dangerous, and they keep playing so well. Those young corners are doing things that, are causing conflict and hesitation in throwing a football to the wide receivers when those guys are there. So it's going to be interesting to see eventually – as the season progresses, you get all the wrinkles out. Everybody's identity is fully cemented. That is going to be a challenge for the Kansas City Chiefs because the Los Angeles Chargers are no longer the same old Chargers. They are improving.
Tell us where people can find the 89 show. I know you're doing that with James Palmer, right?
Yeah, 89 show is on YouTube. 89 with Steve Smith on YouTube. We're doing... just talking football, really. We're supposed to have MJD on today.
Nice.
My fellow coworker to talk about running backs, right? We had, like, I love to bring people on to give us their perspective, right? I can't come across like, hey, I know everything about football. And that's just the things that people automatically assume, right? But there's a lot of football that I'm still learning. Right, in the management side, the how, the why. And so that's been a learning curve for me, and I've enjoyed that aspect of the media that I think would have benefited me a little bit when I was a player.
Steve, good to have you on the show, man. Appreciate it, and hopefully we'll see you in KC later this year.
Okay, appreciate it. You probably won't when it starts to get cold.
You played in Baltimore. I mean, you live in Carolina, and it gets a little chilly there in Charlotte, right?
I know, but waking up when it's chilly and freely buying a ticket to go say, hey, I want to freeze. I did that with the AFC Championship game, and I didn't have enough clothes on. So I've experienced that. And I'm like, you know what? As a guy who likes to ski, I love to ski, but I get to get off the slopes whenever I want. When you're doing media... man, you can't get away. It's bitter cold everywhere in there.
All right, there you go, man. Well, you'll have to come back or get here before it gets cold here. So yeah. you got 2 weeks left, all right?
Hey, you know it's receivers. It's Madonna's.
There you go. All right, that's Steve Smith with us here on 96.5 The Fan. Good to catch up with him. And I think he was in the press box next to us. I want to say it was the Ravens game. Maybe I'm off.
He
Ravens
got so cold in Kansas City in his career. He's like, I'm never going there in December.
Yeah, look, I hard to blame him. Hard to blame him for if you're someone that's not a big fan of the cold weather. Why would you go and be sitting outside on a studio set or something for 4 hours or whatever it may be? But that's Steve Smith, former NFL wide receiver, 4-time All-Pro, and he's got the 89 show over on YouTube. He does that with James Palmer. As far as Rashee Rice, I get what he was saying. in his answer to the question, talent wise, I think, and he said it's undisputable. Talent wise, of course he can be a top 20 wide receiver, right?
Like,
talent wise, of course he can be that. And look, I'm one of those people. He mentioned, you know, the pacing. I was one of those people that, and you and I have both mentioned on the show, like, yeah, he was pacing to be that. I get his point of view, which is, you know, do we give him credit for what he was pacing for? He didn't do it though. And so That's what he's got an opportunity to prove though, when he gets back here. And what are we, 5 weeks away?
The difficulty so he can start playing a football game. Very good. He was around 1,000 yard receivers rookie year. So part of it is the 938 yards. I saw him get his rookie year and where he's headed. But to Steve's point, if I had paced the Saints stats out through four games and said, this is who they are, Gold, I probably wouldn't have been anywhere close. For a 17 game season, he was pacing to be a 1,200 yard wide receiver. I do think he's capable of being that level of wide receiver again. Coming off the injury, a year out of football, maybe not. I'm not asking him to carry the entire offense. I'm asking them to have options. Now, Tyquan Thornton is your one. That hurts a little. Tyquan Thornton is your three. Hollywood is your four. We're having a very different conversation offensively. That to me is like, I'm not asking Rashee Rice to save the offense. This isn't Rashee, please come help us all. This is, can you be a part of a balanced attack that actually gives, and Mahomes can save it. He can be the person who puts it on his back. That's fine. But it's got to be with more available options than they've had these first three games.
What Steve said about Keenan Allen, that Bink is going, I'm surprised Bink hasn't texted us yet. That Bink is going to love every bit of what Steve Smith said about
it.
Keenan Allen. Yeah.
It's a big Keenan Allen guy, if you guys didn't know.
But the point about, you know, the Chargers, it is true. Like they have unlocked something with Quentin Johnston. That is, to me, a huge difference for that Chargers offense. He looked like he was trending towards being a bust in this league. And something changed. It's now 3 weeks of it. I know that's not everything. It's still a pretty small sample size. We've got more evidence of the opposite. But they found something this offseason, and they have consistently been able to find ways to go down the field. That's not where Ladd McConkey is going to thrive, right? But if they have a real deep threat with Quentin Johnston, it's a game changer. It's a big reason why Justin Herbert, I think, has had the start of the season.
The thing I give, because like I don't feel like Herbert looks any better than he has at any other point in his career. Still looks very good, putting up good stats, all that other stuff. The single best thing Harbaugh has done for that team is they went from one of the league's worst defenses who stink out loud and are not competitive and are not physical and do not compete to they are a hard-nosed defensive football team. They are tough to get yards on the last 2 years. That's a massive difference.
You know that music. You know that means Drew takes over here for a little bit. His hottest take from college football.
He's not going to mention some small Florida school again, right?
I don't know where he's going.
I'm not mentioning USF.
He knows he's not allowed to talk about FCS football in this segment. He knows that's the one rule. No FCS football talk.
Yeah, I promise we're not going to talk about D2 or anything like that. No, I'm going to talk about two different things. One of them, the first one we'll start off with, is the SEC announced their annual opponents. They came out yesterday. I was supposed to do today, but Cody, you brought this up to me yesterday. The Missouri Tigers, of course, for those who are interested about the Tigers, the annual opponents who they will play over the next four seasons every year. Arkansas, Texas A&M, and Oklahoma.
Certainly could get a worse set out of the SEC, I would say.
Yes, and I don't think you can argue with any of those, given the history between those
Big
three
12,
schools and the Missouri Tigers.
Border, sure.
You knew Arkansas, of course, was going to be.
Oklahoma and Arkansas makes sense. The third one just could have been anybody.
Yeah, and A&M throws in the former Big 12 side of things, so I think it fits well. The thing is, it's interesting. The criteria for this, Cody, was rivalries, it was tradition, it was just in general good college football matchups. The Florida Gators, or the LSU Tigers.
It's the most offensive part of the entire
schedule. LSU Tigers have a rivalry with Alabama that has a name, and they're not a permanent opponent for the LSU Tigers.
That is
LSU plays Arkansas, Ole Miss, and A&M. A&M, I think it's only because one game they went to 74-72, and everybody thought it was cool because they went to 8 overtimes. It's not happening again because it's 2-point conversions. If we're going to stick to the tradition and the rivalries, the first Saturday of November has a name for a reason, and that's because of LSU plays Alabama.
I'm a casual when it comes to college football viewership, right? I don't just sit down in front of the TV for 12 straight hours for college football every Saturday. I watch it as I feel like a game is interesting. blown away LSU Alabama and LSU Florida are not a
That's
part of
That's another one. I'm
LSU
surprised.
Florida is a game I am aware of and what it means. No, you're telling me that that's not part
it
of
it? It should be.
Halo?
Now, I get it. Not everybody can't schedule LSU and Alabama. Right, I understand that, but I was surprised to see that. But yeah, LSU can't have seven opponents that are the same every year and everybody else has. I mean, there is going to be some rivalry, quote unquote, that's left out
when
you're dealing with the amount of teams that you're dealing with here.
Some of these are just bad. You know, like you said, everybody can't play.
They're also
Alabama.
Trying to ensure. I mean, let's
Alabama's
be real.
They've got Mississippi State. That didn't need to be in there.
But also,
mix.
They were not going to, because of just the SEC and competitive advantage, they're not going to schedule Alabama, Georgia, LSU. They're not going to do that every year. Like, as fun as that would be for a fan base, they're trying to not screw over their SEC teams.
Right, as well.
Yeah. It's like Florida, South Carolina every year. Can't wait.
So I'm not going to talk about Notre Dame either in this segment. Okay. I am going to talk about, though, the Clemson Tigers and Dabo Swinney. So I am a Dabo guy. I like Dabo more than anybody else I think at the station does by a mile. I think
genuinely
it's not close.
Enjoy watching him fail.
So Dabo,
hickory dickory dock, the mouse ran up the clock.
He's a windbag.
So
quick college football, they make me pay players.
So
hasn't won anything since.
So Dabo is 1-3. For the first time ever in his coaching career, the first time Clemson's been 1-3 since 2004.
Oof.
Obviously, it's a really difficult spot to be in if you're Dabo, but I think this is time where, and this is the thing that the consensus I dug you down into the Reddit rabbit hole a little bit.
No,
just to get more, I went to the forums
Dangerous
a little
game.
Bit. The fans don't want Dabo fired, but they want him to adjust to the times. And
good
I think
luck.
I think that's the one thing. He was better this past season, but still not good enough where Nick Saban, this is why Nick Saban is the GOAT, is it didn't matter what era of college football it was, he won and knew how to adjust. Dabo is refusing to adjust to the way that college football is transforming, and it's now showing up. It's now catching up to... Hey, you got to use the portal. Our guy Barber sent us a text this morning.
He did.
The top seven teams in the transfer portal are all undefeated right now. You know who isn't in that list and is also not undefeated? The Clemson Tigers are 1-3, and they are not addressing the portal.
His arrogance and the way, like, he makes, I'll never forgive any grown adult who makes $15 million a year and then bitches with one of his players is going to make $10,000 threatening to quit the sport. I wish he had quit. I wish he had quit then. And I'm glad he doesn't adjust. He's just going to let himself sink and sink Clemson with him because he's decided not to allow the sport and the way it's changing to be the way he operates his life. Just quit if you don't like it.
Coach Other Sweeney's got that drip, and now... He's on TikTok.
Roy Williams quit college basketball because he didn't like
Tony
the way it
Bennett.
Was anymore.
Tony Bennett quit.
You can argue,
as much as Bruce Pearl wants to say whatever it is that he's stopping for, whether it's his...
He, by the way, claimed yesterday that he's not running for any office as
I think
of
he
right
said
now.
He's going to be the governor of Auburn, is what he said, as a matter of fact, in that video. But who knows the reasoning behind all of it. But, I do think that, to Dabo's credit, what he did last year... with no transfer portal talent to make the college football playoff was remarkably impressive. But it obviously doesn't matter because it was no national title.
Correct.
And now Clemson is, it's win national title or get out. And right
Someone
now they,
said,
they've gotten out.
Drew, that Dabo can coach your Bengals next year. Can coach your Cincinnati Bengals.
I wouldn't root for that.
I don't think he would be very good in the NFL.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I don't think his whole mentality would work in the NFL. That's a little look
in
at
fairness,
college
no portal
football.
In the NFL,
is,
so hey, you know.
Well, I mean, free agency.
You're right. There actually is.
Free agency does
there
exist.
Actually is.
It is basically the same thing,
you're
actually.
Right.
Up next, guys, let's get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We know a lot of you have been throwing out names of running backs that you want to see in Kansas City. So let's play along a little bit. We'll do that next.
The Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos,
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
1130 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
We will get to the Chiefs in just a second, but there is some breaking news in the NFL during the break, as we kind of thought it was trending toward this anyway, but the Giants are planning to start rookie quarterback Jackson Dart on Sunday, according to Adam Schefter. That's Jackson Dart making his rookie debut against the L.A. Chargers.
He got a chance to win rookie of the year. He got in early enough.
Look, if you're a Chiefs fan, you should hope that Jackson Dart just ends up being good and catches the Chargers off guard, because they weren't going to. Russell Wilson was not being the Chargers on Sunday. Jackson Dart probably won't either, but at least you feel like there's a shot because he's mobile, and who knows what happens there. But I'm excited to see Jackson Dart make his debut. There's no reason to not make this switch. You were 0-3. Russell Wilson has major limitations. You know, he had a huge game against the Cowboys. That's the only reason why the Chiefs got to play Russell Wilson instead of Jackson Dart. That's it. That really is the only reason why we didn't have to see Jackson Dart on Sunday night.
Thanks, Cowboys defense.
That's what it was, man.
Because Russell Wilson throwing three balls into the seats at the end of the game, if he wasn't already dead to rights.
That was so embarrassing.
He certainly was now. I think just because he's a quarterback, he'll still enter the conversation. I'm assuming Egbuka is the favorite to win Rookie of the Year at the moment.
Or Tyler Warren? No.
I mean, at the moment, like, currently.
No. That's what I'm saying. Egbuka had moved up from 15-1 to 7-1. I have not checked after the week 3 action.
God, I just assumed it was Egbuka or Warren.
Jensen was still high, and quarterbacks were still high because you just have an inside track. The latest odds right now, Egbuka had just moved. Yeah,
so he's
plus 360. Tyler Warren 5-1. Hampton 7.5-1. Tet McMullen 7.5-1. Cam Ward 7.5-1. Jackson Dart 7.5-1. So it's a huge group tie. Genty's fallen all the way down behind those. He's seventh best odds. He's gotten off to a very slow start.
Yes. Egbuka's
the play here, but the quarterbacks are still the guys that always have a leg up here. Jackson Dart, I think, I don't know if we mentioned on this show, or like a week or two ago, we were mentioning, like, if you think he'll start early enough and play enough games, Jackson Dart was like 15-1. You should have bet it then. 7-1 now. I mean, I guess you still could. If Jackson Dart looks good at any point in the next week or two, he will all of a sudden move up to favorite.
One thing that's going to help Egbuka, though, is Mike Evans. They announced today he's got a hamstring injury.
Yeah.
They're bracing for him to miss 2 to 3 weeks.
Could make his job tougher, though, too.
Yeah, it depends on how you look at it.
They got a lot of injuries.
More targets, certainly, you would think, coming his way, but... Yeah, you're right. It could technically make his job harder. I'm excited to see Jackson Dart. I like seeing any rookie quarterback start and see if, like, they're the next good NFL quarterback. And it's so much less stressful to watch those guys take hold in the NFC. I don't care if a really good quarterback ends up in the NFC. They're all in the AFC right now anyway. The imbalance of elite-level quarterback play or top 10 quarterback play, top 15, still feels like it heavily weighs on the AFC side than the NFC.
When's the last time, I might be recently for all I know, for a rookie of the year to not be a quarterback?
Oh, it happens all the time. Every 3 or 4 years, a non-quarterback wins. It's usually running back or wide receiver, but yeah, it happens. I've looked this up before, but it's like, it's every 3 or 4 years... Drew, it's not like all the time. For instance,
Garrett
3
Wilson.
Years ago, it was Garrett Wilson.
Chase.
The year before
your
that,
guy's Jamar Chase.
Oh, okay.
In the last decade, Saquon, Alvin Kamara, Todd Gurley, Jamar Chase, and Garrett Wilson have all won Rookie of the Year that weren't quarterbacks.
So, half.
The rest were quarterbacks.
Yeah. But 4 of the last 6 years have been quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. But they also had great. We had an all-time year from Jane Daniels and an all-time year from C.J. Stroud.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, those are 2 of the best rookie years of all time. If you go back 20 years, there's lots of other guys too. There's Percy Harvin and
I think it's more balanced for in that positional side.
It's not like the Heisman. It's not just quarterback.
Yeah, we talked
MVP,
about
whatever.
Yeah. Talked about Egbuka a couple weeks ago. It was good value there. You're feeling good if you have a ticket on him. I think if you have a ticket on Egbuka, you should probably put a few bucks on Jackson Dart just to cover your rear a little bit here on the market, because it can shift. I also think somebody worth a flyer to keep Cam Scataboo now at 20-1. To me, I'd throw $5 on him. because he's going to be the starting running back with the Giants now. You could have two rookies. Now, you might say, well, if things are going well for the offense, it won't be Scattaboo, it'll be Jackson Dart. But I don't think
they're going to lean on Scattaboo while Dart tries to get his hand on it.
Yeah, rookie of the year market's fun because it's going to swing so many times throughout the season. I mean, we just mentioned 1, 2, 3, 4 guys have the exact same odds, and they all have tied for the third best odds.
I got to say, it's not a great time for Jackson Dart to get in the mix. The Chargers'
schedule.
Defense is very tough. He has the Eagles' defense, Broncos defense, and Philly again. So he's got the Eagles twice, the Broncos. New Orleans is the only game where you're like, at least you got that one. Part of you, like part of me, if I were Brian Daboll, would have been tempted to be like, I'll start you in New Orleans. Like,
that's what I was thinking too. I wonder if they would
want you starting against the Chargers defense, who've been beating up teams. Maybe I'll just give you a week.
In fairness, though, I think it was my wife that said this. She was like, you know, starting against the Chargers, it might seem easier. It's going to look a lot easier when you play the Saints. You know, you play against the Chargers, and it's like, hey, this is a little bit easier playing against Kellen Moore and this defense in New Orleans. Is that one a road game or is that a home game?
At New Orleans.
Not that it matters right now. New Orleans is bad everywhere.
And yeah, in fairness, the Giants and Jets both stink. So it doesn't matter whether they play at home or not either.
Let's switch back over to the Chiefs here, since it is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. But yeah, Jackson Dart will be the starter for the Giants coming up this Sunday. I've seen everyone's tweets, texts, just like you have, Gold, that they're ready for a running back change. I'll be honest, in the break, I just showed Gold another highlight where I can't for the life of me tell you where Isaiah Pacheco was going versus the massive hole that was created by the offensive line. He just ran directly into Joshua Simmons' back. So I get the trouble with the running game and the vision problems that Pacheco has had this year. So let's do a choose your own adventure a little. If you got to pick your poison, you got to decide which angle you were going to go with. And I told you, contract matters here.
Absolutely. Has
draft pick compensation matters when I'm asking you this question. Alvin Kamara, Breece Hall, or Devin Achane? If you could get first, would you want any of those guys on the Chiefs? Second, if you could have one of those three, who is it?
Yeah, so a couple of different ways to answer it for sure. I would say the most realistic candidate, if we factor in contract and everything, is Achane. I think he's the most realistic one. The Dolphins season is going to continue to go south. Maybe they'll end up firing their head coach at some point this season. Contract-wise, it's doable. He's got a year left on his deal. He's not making any money.
After this year, you mean? Okay.
Yeah, a year left. Sorry.
He
turns 24 next month. So young back, plenty of tread on the tires still. He's someone that obviously is a great receiving option as well. We got done talking about that with the Bills game on that last Thursday night. Or HN, I think, had 6 catches in the first half. So they need someone out of the backfield that can catch the football as well. I would like Breshard Smith to be that, but right now we haven't seen it. So HN to me is realistic based on compensation for draft pick and what he's compensated for. The obvious best back in this conversation is for the Chiefs is Kamara. I mean, I think we all agree that's the answer. The problem with him is he has $9 million this year. Now it's less than that now, but $9 million this year. $18.6 million next year, and he'll be 31.
And that's
cool. How old is he?
He'll be 31 next year, making $18 million as a cap hit. So that's the problem I would have with him. I agree he's the best back for this season.
I think for me,
I don't think the Jets will trade Breece Hall, personally. So.
What's really tough about it is I genuinely think Alvin Kamara is the best fit. As in, just stylistically, he is the best fit.
Do you think they would utilize any of these backs enough to where it's worth to trade them?
Like, I think if they trade for someone like that, they're going to use them. But like Alvin Kamara is the best fit, but also you just mentioned his contract stuff. I'm not interested in that. I trade for Breece Hall. And the reason why is the Jets are in a complete rebuild anyway. They're going to have to find a new quarterback this offseason. Breece Hall is not going to save them. And their choices this offseason will be trade Breece Hall right now and get something for him, or he becomes an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. Are you really going to give Breece Hall the type of top running back money he requires? And I don't feel the pressure.
I mean, he's never had a 1,000-yard season.
But like, it's still expensive. I don't see any reason. Like, I don't feel obligated if I'm the Chiefs to give Breece Hall a contract. I'm fine to just trade for him, use the pick, try to have a running game, and try to go win a Super Bowl and cash out that way. I don't feel the obligation to need more than 1 year. I can solve my running back problem in the draft next year, similar to how I should have solved it this year. The thing I like the best, Gold, is the thing that we've been missing in this running game the most. Explosive runs. Breece Hall is good.
He does.
From an explosive run perspective. You want to talk about a guy who can get 80, 40, 50 yards in a run? It is Breece Hall. And you're right. He's never had a 1,000-yard rushing season, so he's never – statistically, he's not like – his best season is not way different than Isaiah Pacheco's best season.
I mean, Achane had a 61-yard touchdown last year, had a 76-yarder his rookie year.
Too,
so
no,
I think they both would fit that category. I like the receiving element as well as Achane. You know, this year, the numbers haven't been crazy. But
I think it costs more to get Achane, too, so I'm going with the cheaper option in Breece Hall. Shouldn't
you
it
think?
Cost more? Two years of control versus one? Shouldn't that just alone jump the figure?
In general, though, we're still talking about running back. I mean, what's high? I mean, to
I
me,
know,
we're
third, fourth.
I was gonna say, I think it's no more than a fourth round pick.
Yeah,
I would do that in a heartbeat.
That's always the question.
So, I think I would say Breece Hall as well. In terms, if I knew that it was just this year, see, I would make the trade wanting more than just this year. If I was making the trade for just this year, it's Alvin Kamara and it's him, just for the season. But I think looking ahead,
so that's why you'd want,
and it's
HN.
Not. It's not because, well, I want Breece.
Or Breece.
But
you'd give him a
contract. I think the same thing goes for either of them, honestly. It's just, and it's not just because of Clyde, but it's you don't have to worry about drafting a running back again. You don't have to worry about it. You just have to pay HN or you have to pay Breece Hall at some point.
I just don't need to do that, though. I'll just draft one.
Because, if they're great, because, I'll consider it. I'm just saying I don't have to.
Because, and even as great as Isaiah Pacheco was, how many good years did he give you? Two?
Yeah, 2 years for you. Yep. And it's time to move on.
Pretty good.
I understand that. But I wouldn't want to be in that cycle where you're trying to bank on them drafting a running back where I think...
Teams do it all the time.
I got to draft a new running back every 4 years if it's going well.
I understand that, but I think there's... And maybe for that reason, I guess, you would just draft a running back every 2 years because the way that Andy utilizes running backs in the offense, you don't want to pay... A running back, I can understand that viewpoint as well, but I would take Achane or Breece Hall because you shouldn't have to worry about running back again, at least for the foreseeable next 2 or 3 years, where you can rely on replacing Chris Jones and looking to just further increase your defensive prowess. And
yeah, I just don't want to pay a running back. I'll just do that. You know, that's why I'm okay with the trade for a 1 year stopgap. That's okay with me.
This
how much
issue,
is the contract though? Like how much money? How much money is Breece Hall going to make in a contract extension? How much money is Devon Achane?
Let's look at the running back market. Running back contracts
probably below the top end guy. He's not going to make the Alvin Kamara Saquon.
Yeah, Kamara's number is ridiculous for him being the age that
he's not going to get Barkley's deal where he's making $20 million. Yeah. But also, for example, you know, James Conner is $9.5 million. David Montgomery $9.1 million. Ramondre Stevenson $9 million. I don't want to pay my running back $9 million a year. I just fundamentally I'm against it. I'm not saying it's the right you have to agree, but like
is that because
I
they
would
want to
not
utilize
wanna,
him?
That's part of it. And I also think running backs, if you're willing to draft them, you can find other running backs. Unless we're talking about the Derrick Henrys and Jonathan Taylors of the world. And obviously the Chiefs could have drafted Jonathan Taylor. They chose not to. But, you know, those type of backs.
They took...
Hell, they could have drafted Ollie Gordon, who's playing well for the Dolphins right now.
Look, they could have taken a million different running backs. That's been
that's the point, though. There's a bunch of them you can... There are running back options out there if you really want to address the position.
This is what's really tough, because we haven't said it as firmly as we have with like a guy like Juwan Taylor. We are one more week away of him running directly into the back of an offensive lineman away from me wanting to Juwan Taylor bench him. Like, I'm sorry. If every game I got to watch three plays where you miss the hole and run into the back of your offensive lineman, run into negative yardage, so much as one fumble happens, Andy will bench him because of the other issue to come up. The thing that has protected Isaiah Pacheco, I think, in Andy Reid's eyes is he protects the football. Andy cares about that. That's the thing that matters. And I'm not saying it shouldn't matter. It definitely should.
Yeah,
but it's like
absolutely.
I'm like one more week away from having to watch like four highlights of Pacheco not knowing where he's going, turning around backwards on a screen pass, missing giant running lanes, to just being like, just start Rashard Smith or trade for a guy so I don't have to watch mistakes in the running game.
Well,
so
yeah,
we can't have
any trade stuff, though. You guys agree. I think we're 3+ weeks away, though, still.
Yeah, for sure. So why not start Rashard Smith and find out if you need to trade for
him? I don't need him to start. I just need more snaps.
Because evidently, I think it's the same thing with Andy as it is for Spags. He likes his guy. He thinks Pacheco's fine, and they're going to work
it out.
There's
definitely
a
trust factor.
I think that... Which also lies into the fact of they might draft a rookie. Who the hell knows if they're actually going to play him?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what round they draft
they
him.
They could
but
draft a running back in the fourth round. Are we sure Andy's even going to let him get the
historically, running backs, I don't care about.
I would say,
next year,
if we're just looking guys under contract next year, Kareem Hunt's contract expires, Pacheco's contract expires, Elijah Mitchell's contract expires. They would only have Breshard Smith under contract and technically Carson Steele. So, you know what I mean? Like, they somebody will have to
because be
starting.
Is there a name we're missing, by the way? Can't be ETN now. They're too competitive.
Yeah, down in Jackson.
One's ever traded Bijan.
Damian Pierce down in Houston. He's not even playing at all right now. Nick Chubb is carrying the ball. That team's a mess. They're 0-3.
I'd rather have any of the other three than
same.
Pierce.
Now, Pierce might only cost you a 6th or 7th round pick, and it's not a huge upgrade, but I would prefer Pierce. But to me,
Hubbard?
Breshard Smith could be Damian Pierce if they let Breshard Smith get an opportunity.
Hubbard? Strike anybody? Carolina stinks.
Is he starting for them?
I don't know his situation fully.
I mean, he's healthy and playing, and is,
he's a live body. Cody basically just said he's alive.
I don't think Carolina would get rid of him.
Basically,
what do you mean? They're awful.
Hubbard just signed a new deal. I'm out.
Right. Oh, I forgot he just got a contract.
But I think the weird part about this
definitely out.
The weird part about this conversation, though, I think, is that we're almost. I think all of us collectively, in a way, are almost in between doing the rental thing or having one. With long term, I guess, outside of you, Gold, you're just it doesn't because if you make the trade. Is it a rent? Can we all agree that a rental is more likely what it's going to be? I mean, even if they get Achane, are they going to extend him or are they just going to draft another running back and he'll be here for this year? Like, is the juice worth the squeeze to give up a 6th round pick when, let's say, they're 3-3 and you're like, well, I think he could help the offense, but we don't know how well Andy's going to utilize him. Is it worth giving up a 5th round pick or a 4th round pick for a guy that might, that's just going to be gone at the end of the year and, you're not going to pay him after. I don't know if it's...
That's where the draft compensation, if it's someone that has a deal that's truly expiring, the compensation won't be as high. That's why the compensation would be a 5th or 6th, probably.
Yeah.
If it's someone that the deal is expiring.
Doesn't
this go back to the offseason? Of course, we've talked about this at great length. Yes, when the day they re-signed Kareem Hunt, I'll never forget it, honestly.
We all sat on the show, like, oh no.
Josh Briscoe was walking in the studio right as it happened, and our first question to him was, does this mean they're just not going to really even address the running back in the draft? And he's like, and I think Briscoe was like, oh no, they still will, and I guess they did in the 7th round, but it wasn't good. There's guys like Javonte Williams and others for the same amount of money they could have signed that they paid Elijah Mitchell, who hasn't been active for a single game, and I don't know if he ever will be. And obviously we've seen Kareem Hunt, who's been their better running back, but there's still serious long-term limitations. Kareem Hunt is going to wear down as the season goes on. That's just the reality. We saw it last year.
Yes. And my hope would be that before they made any kind of move, that they would just give more carries to Breshard Smith and see what you got there. Now, I also understand, and you understand, we all do, that at this point, they're not going to probably do anything until they see the full version of the offense.
And I get it.
3 weeks from now. When Rashee Rice is back in week 7, that's when they'll start making some determinations of what the hell they are as an offense. But it doesn't matter who the wide receivers are. Isaiah Pacheco's mistakes have nothing to do with what the wide receivers are doing. They're just mistakes. They're just not having vision on the football field. They're unrelated to the offensive woes caused by wide receiver play. They are simply, he is turning the wrong way or running the wrong way or missing gaps or assignments. Those things are different. And I'm not saying he can't improve on those. 2 years ago, he was much better. He has downslid since then. That might just be the downside to people get tape on you and you're a 7th round running back. I don't know. But like, he's come back to earth quite a bit since his rookie season. And so why I wanted to toss these names out. I couldn't see anybody else I missed on the list.
I do wonder, because to me, the way, I don't know what Andy thinks about that position or whatever the case is, or just the style of play that would run or which would be more appealing. But if you're Andy, if you know we've gotten a glimpse of what in particular Breece Hall and Devon Achane can do in terms of their age. Kamara will leave out because we know what he can do, but he's older. Andy knows what Breece Hall and Devon Achane can do. Does that make it more appealing where Andy's like, I want you to go get him and I want you to extend him because I know what he does and I don't have to worry about developing a guy out of college. I know what I have. And if I have Breece Hall and Devon Achane, I know what I'm getting and I know how to utilize them and I know that they can be productive and I can trust them, which seems to be a big factor with this team and on both sides of the ball, as we've talked about at length. I don't know if that changes anything in Andy's mind of, I'd rather not worry about developing a guy and just get what I can get and know what I'm getting and use that player in a way that we know he can be used.
The only potential in-house solution is Rashard Smith. And I'm not saying he will be that, but he's the only potential in-house solution outside the organization's the only other path. Kareem Hunt is what he is. Pacheco, I think we're finding out, unfortunately, where he's at in his career. And Elijah Mitchell, to this point, they haven't even made active. So I don't even know how I can say he's their only another internal option. The guy can't even get active on game day. So Rashard Smith, I'm hoping that, once again, the first drive out of halftime, best drive of the year. It's not like Rashard Smith had 30 yards on the drive, but the fact that he was in on that drive, the fact they used some misdirection, the fact that they went under center, all those are elements I hope they take from that game and start using more during the stretch without Worthy, without Rice. And Rashard Smith, I don't know what his exact snap percentage was. It still wasn't very high. To me, it should slowly increase. Maybe not even slowly. It should just increase. He didn't need a start for this team, but his snaps should be going up.
It was the fumble stuff, so it's probably not going to happen again. I will point out, you're like, and he's not going to change who his starting running back is in the middle of the year. He straight up started LeSean McCoy for half of an NFL season, and the first year they won the Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes, LeSean McCoy was the starting running back for this team for a whole half a year. He fumbled a couple of times, they put in Damian Williams, and they never looked back. So they are willing to make running back changes in the middle of the year. If they got Achan, I think he's immediately the starter, and he's playing all the time, and they make their... And look, the truth is, if they traded for a player like that, there's at least a 50-50 chance that Pacheco's going back to those teams in exchange for it as a way of not muddying up the running back waters. And instead, it's still just Kareem Hunt, Achan, and Rashard Smith. I don't even think that's out of the question, not wondering where the snaps are going.
I guess this wouldn't be it's not a fun conversation, but how much is it to cut Isaiah Pacheco?
Because
there's no reason to do that.
$0.
There's no reason to do that. Why? I mean, so we can see more Kareem Hunt and just like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think that's...
If you asked me how much it was to cut Kareem Hunt, I'd listen to that.
Well, I think they'd fizzle out the room in some way,
No, they would just cut Elijah Mitchell.
Yeah. And then they would have Rashard Smith.
Like, if you told me they brought it, they would just cut Elijah Mitchell.
They would just keep they'd have four running backs on the roster then.
Yes.
Yeah, they would just cut Elijah Mitchell. It'd be Pacheco. It'd be Achan, Pacheco, Kareem Hunt.
The dead cap hit on Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco, if you wanted to know, although I don't think it matters, is like $20,000.
So. Literally $19,777.
So that's not important.
All right, up next, guys, we'll get to what's trending. We'll talk more about what happened on Monday Night Football and how we view the Ravens and the Lions, two opponents, in the next couple weeks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.